Just a verse along that lines is in Romans chapter 8. It's a well-known verse to us, I'm sure. But for whom he foreknew, verse 29, Romans 8, 29, for whom he foreknew means that he knew all about us before time. He predestined us, meaning that he has marked us out ahead of time. Then it says, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the purpose of this foreknowledge, the purpose of this predestination, is that we would be conformed to the image, that the character of Christ might be seen in our lives. That's the purpose. But then just to follow that up, he says in verse 30, moreover, whom he predestined, if he's marked you out ahead of time, he called you in time. And that's what he says here. He also called. The calling has to do with time. In time, he called me, and I responded. But he had already marked me out ahead of time. And then he says, and when he called me, whom he called, these he also justified. And so we see how these beautiful truths that Mark is bringing out blend together, that in time I responded to the call. And there's a verse in John chapter 6. I think it would do us good to see this in John chapter 6, just to mention this verse to help us, because we make this doctrine a little bit more difficult than it has to be. I think we complicate it. And what we need to see here, and the Lord Jesus says this, verse 37, all that my Father gives me will come to me. All that my Father gives me, that's election, that's predestination, that's being chosen. All that the Father gives me and now will come to me. And that has to do with our response. And when he calls us in time, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. And that has to do with the security that we find. And his arms are open to us when we respond to that call. And this comes out again several times in chapter 6 of John. But just going back to Romans 8, he says this, that he's called us, and whom he's called, he's also justified. And whom he justified. Now, this is another truth that I looked at his list. I don't think he's got it down, but I want to bring us another truth of this tremendous truth of God's word of salvation, this great salvation, and that is glorification. The glorification here mentioned, he says, whom he justified, these he also glorified. What I want to underline here is that this is future tense. This is already done tense. This is past tense. It's not future tense. It's something that God has already done. He's already glorified us. But when we look at those in Thessalonians, in Thessalonica, it says that they were waiting for his son, which Mark does have that on his list, waiting for his son from heaven, whom he raised. But they were waiting, and really, glorification is something that Ephesians teaches us, that we're already seated in the heavenly places. We're already there. God sees us there, seated. That's being glorified. That's Romans 8, 29. But we're waiting for the bodily resurrection. We are waiting to be able to be there with him, and we're waiting to be glorified. And what a tremendous thing. We're waiting for that to actually take place. But from God's perspective, it's already finished. This great salvation is a tremendous thing. And so election, and I want to say one more thing about election. This truth can confuse people. But this truth is not for the unbeliever. This truth, election, predestination, foreknowledge of God, this truth really has to do with the family of God. It's a family secret. Every one of your families has secrets. You don't have to tell them to me. But in the family of God, there's a secret that we find out once we realize and once we respond to the gospel, we look at that this was part of God's plan from the beginning. Wow, what a tremendous thing. What a blessing. This is that great salvation that we're discussing. And it was in God's heart, in eternity, what we call eternity past. It was in God's heart before there ever was time that you and I would respond to his call. And he knew who would be called. Now, the opposite side of that is, and some people will hear this, and some people will say, well, if you've been elected and chosen for heaven, then you must be chosen to go to hell. And that is a false doctrine. That nowhere in Scripture do we ever find that God chooses anyone to go to hell. According to John chapter 3, we're already all on our way. We're all condemned and lost. And God has provided a way for salvation. And then that banner says, whosoever will may come. And once we respond, we find out it was in God's intention, it was in God's heart that we would respond. So don't muddy the waters by saying that God must have chosen some. We never find that in Scripture. But what we do find is those that are part of the family of God, we recognize the fact that God has called us in time. We respond to that, and we find out that he's elected us, that he's chosen us, he's predestined us. What a tremendous thing.
Okay, we have just about 10 minutes, and I want to go through five things from the first chapter, and you can write them down, because the other thing that's going to help us and motivate us in this pathway of living out the result of the gospel in our lives is when we focus not on ourselves, but on the works and the activity of God. I want to list five things that God has done in chapter one of, and I have five, but I'm sure I might have missed one or two. But I want you to write them down, because I think if you meditate on each of them, it's going to be transformative in your own experience. The first one is in verse 4. Verse 4, verse A, you're beloved of God, or you're loved by God. The greatest motivator in any area of life is love. And so when God is acted towards us, he's acted out of his compassion and out of his love. He says, you who were beloved of God. So the first one is loved by God. We just talked about the second one, which is elected by God or chosen by God. So when you think about what motivates you, let the love of God motivate you. To know that he has done everything towards me in order to bring me into a relationship with himself. He shed his love. He showed his love to me in a incredible way in giving his well-beloved son. Loved by God. Second one is chosen by God. They turned to God. That's in verse 9a. They turned to God. God became the attractive one. And then they served God. So loved by God, chosen by God. They turned to God. They served God. And they were delivered by God from the wrath to come. God's work for us and towards us is the supreme motivator in order to get to the place of living as Christians who have something that is attractive to a watching world. And as we go through each topic this week, you're going to find that even the things that we don't like affliction and persecution and temptation, even in those things, there can be this contagious reality that is exuded from us that the world will look on and say, wait a second, what is it that they possess? What is it that they have?